So, today we are going to discuss on the subject of motivation and inspiration. Now, the present day world is a world of motivation and inspiration, right? Everybody wants motivation, everybody wants inspiration. And it's like a very lucrative market. Everybody is trying to become a motivational guru. Everybody is trying to become an inspirational guru. Why is this so? Why is motivation and inspiration in high demand in the modern day world? The reason is because the present generation is perhaps the most ambitious and the most impatient generation in human history. More than any time in the past, people in today's world are more ambitious and they are more impatient. Now this is a very deadly combination, because if you are ambitious but at the same time you have got a lot of patience, then it's fine. You know, there is sufficient time to realize your ambitions. And if you're less ambitious, but you're impatient, that is also fine. Because if you've got less ambition, you can quickly realize it also. But when the combination becomes very ambitious, at the same time, very impatient, then that's a very deadly combination, because of which you can end up getting stressed, you can end up becoming hopeless, and all these things happen. Because people want to make a lot of money nowadays, very quickly. And they want to start a new company. And they want to make that company a multi-billion dollar company very quickly. They want big things in a very short amount of time. And because we are all coming from that generation, even when we come to spiritual life, we are very ambitious, at the same time very impatient. We want to become pure devotees, free from all anarthas very quickly. And if we want to spread this message to others, we want to do it in a big way, reach out to as many people as possible very quickly. And even if you are coming for the Sunday feast class, we want good prasad very quickly. And after taking very good prasad quickly, then you want to go home quickly. So you want to catch a fast train. But at the same time, you are very ambitious. You want that train to be empty. So you want khali train quickly. Fast and empty train. So this is a big contradiction in today's day world. And because people are very ambitious, at the same time very impatient, there is a reason they need a lot of inspiration, a lot of motivation to keep going. Because when you are very ambitious, at the same time very impatient, you are bound to face with reversals quite frequently. And when you meet with reversals frequently, there is every chance of losing hope and feeling hopeless. And that is the reason to boost themselves up, to boost their self-confidence. People are looking for a lot of motivation, a lot of inspiration. And I'm sure all of you have come here also looking for inspiration and motivation. But what I'm going to discuss is, what's the difference between the inspiration and the motivation that you'll find here in a Hare Krishna temple as compared to the inspiration and motivation you'll find outside? What is the difference? Is it all the same? Actually, the inspiration and the motivation that you get through pep talks that you hear in the outside world, that is unsustainable inspiration, unsustainable motivation. Whereas the inspiration and motivation that you find through the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and through the teachings of the scriptures is real and sustainable. And we'll try to discuss how this is so. Now, when you are hearing an inspirational or motivational talk, what exactly is happening? Let's analyze. You must have had some setback in your life, and you might be feeling a little hopeless. You might be feeling like giving up. And when you hear a good inspirational or a motivational talk, that makes you feel that, okay, I should not give up. I should continue trying. Earlier we were feeling that I can't do it. Right? I can't do it. And then after hearing a good inspirational or a motivational talk, the mantra changes to, I can do it. I can do it. I can achieve it. And then again you face reversals, setbacks in life. And then again, you start feeling, I can't do it. And again, you hear a motivational or inspirational talk. And then again, you start feeling, I can do it. Right? This is how it works. So what's happening is, your mantra changes from, I can't do it, to I can do it. Basically, you are telling no to the mind. When you are feeling motivated, you are saying no to the mind. The mind is screaming, bas ho gaya, abhi give up mar do. But then you say no to the mind. No giving up business. Keep going. Keep trying. Hum honge kamyab ek din. Isn't it? So, that is what happens through a good inspirational or motivational talk. Basically, the speaker motivates you, inspires you to exercise your willpower. Use your willpower to overcome the negativity that is within you. Use your willpower to change the mantra from I can't do it to I can do it. So this willpower is a key thing. Now regarding how willpower works, psychologists and scientists have been working on it for quite some time. In the 1960s, one of the first experiments on willpower was conducted. So 4-year-old children, they were given a marshmallow to eat. Now, marshmallow is a kind of a sweet. You can consider it a kind of a chocolate. So, 4-year-old child was left alone in the room with a marshmallow. And the child was told that if you wait for 15 minutes till I return and refrain from eating the marshmallow, then you will get one more as a bonus. But if you eat the marshmallow before I return, then you won't get one more. You will have to be happy with the one marshmallow that you already have. So it was a kind of a test of your willpower, right? So kids with more willpower, they resisted the temptation and didn't eat the marshmallow for 10 or 15 minutes till the teacher returned. But kids of less willpower, they ate the marshmallow and they couldn't get the second one. So this experiment was conducted somewhere in the 1960s. And the performance of these kids was traced through their adult life, through their high school and adult life. And it was found that children who exhibited high amount of willpower by not eating the marshmallow, they ended up becoming more successful in their life. And those kids who had less willpower, they weren't as successful. So it was understood that willpower plays a major role in your success story. But then, what is this willpower all about? So initially they thought it was some kind of a skill that you can master. Just like you can learn how to solve arithmetic problems. It's a kind of a skill, right? You can master it through practice. Or driving a car. Driving a car is a skill. So you can master it. So they thought that willpower is also a kind of a skill which can be mastered. But then they found that certain people who exhibited high amount of willpower at one point of time, they ended up showing less willpower at some other point of time. Now if it's a skill, that won't happen. If you know driving car, you will know how to drive a car in the morning, you'll know how to drive a car in the evening. And you can know how to drive a car after 1 week also. It's not that morning will remember, evening will forget. Again, morning will remember, evening will forget. That doesn't happen. Skill means it stays with you. But willpower seems to be something different. It's not a skill. Because sometimes we all have this experience, right? Sometimes we exhibit a lot of willpower, but other times we fail in exhibiting willpower. So it's something different from a skill. What is it exactly? Maybe it's a resource, a finite resource that you have that gets exhausted when you use it. Maybe it's like money. Once you spend it, you don't have money. You'll have to earn it again to spend it again. Maybe willpower is something like that. So what exactly it is, they wanted to know. So they performed another experiment now with adults. So students, college students, they were told to skip a meal and then come to the experiment. So when they came to the experiment, they were all very hungry. Around 60 to 70 students. They were all made to sit. And in the table in front of them, they were given two containers, two bowls. One bowl contained cookies, freshly made cookies. Very delicious, freshly made cookies. And the other bowl contained radish. Radish means mooli. Okay. So half the students were told, and they were all told that this is an experiment to find out perception, how your taste buds function. To analyze how your taste buds function, this experiment is being conducted. So half the students were told that you should only eat the cookies. You should not eat radish mooli. And the other half students, they were told you should eat only radish mooli. You should not eat the cookies. Now for those students who were told you should eat only cookies and not the mooli, there was no issues for them because anyway they were very hungry and the cookies were very delicious and they happily ate the cookies. But the other group, it was a big tapasya for them. They were told, don't eat the cookies. You should eat only mooli. You should eat only radish. And that was a test of their willpower. So I think using cameras or something, all the people who were conducting the experiment, they were watching the reactions of these people. So the people who were told to eat the cookies, they were, you know, eating cookies very fast because anyway they had skipped a meal. They're feeling very hungry. And the other group, you know, they could visibly see that they were struggling to keep from eating the cookies. So some of them, they used to smell the cookies while eating the muli. At least through nose, let me enjoy little cookies. And some others used to take the cookies in their hands and then keep it back, and then they would lick their fingers. So all these things were happening. So after this exercise was over, basically what happened was the people who were told to eat the muli or the radish, obviously a lot of their willpower was exhausted. Kind of, they had used their willpower to refrain from the cookies even though they were feeling very hungry. So after this happened, then the people performing the experiments, they returned to the room and they said that right now the results of the experiment will come after 15 or 20 minutes. We have sent all these findings to the laboratory. We are waiting for the results to come. So in the meanwhile, what you should do is, you should solve one simple puzzle, simple mathematical puzzle, geometry puzzle you should solve. And it's a very simple puzzle. As soon, if you feel like giving up in between, you should ring a bell saying that I have given up. Actually, it was not a simple geometrical puzzle. It was an impossible problem to solve. An impossible geometrical puzzle that was given to them. So how did the two groups behave now? The people who had eaten the cookies, they hadn't used their willpower so far. So when they got the geometric puzzle, they started solving it. And they found that there's something wrong here. I'm not able to solve it. No problem. I'll try it again. And again, and again, and again. They kept trying, kept trying, kept trying. On an average, they went on trying for 20 minutes before they rang the bell saying that we give up. What happened to the other group? They had already exhausted their willpower. And here there is another unsolvable problem in front of them. Ghav pe namak chidakna bolte na, vaisa. Already frustrated. So then they started solving the geometrical puzzle, and some of them, they just put everything aside, put their head in front of the table and slept like this. You know, they gave up. They forgot to even ring the bell. And some others started, you know, muttering to themselves, this is a dumb experiment. Who designed this experiment? On an average, they continued only till, on an average, they went on only till 9 minutes before they rang the bell. Only 6 or 7 minutes before they rang the bell. Less than half of the time for which the first group kept trying. Why? Because their willpower was already exhausted. So through this experiment, it was confirmed that willpower is kind of a resource. When you use it, you exhaust it. Willpower works just like the muscles in our body. Willpower works like muscle power. Now, if you are working very hard, right? If you are working very hard continuously, then slowly, slowly, the amount of work that you can do keeps on reducing. Then you will have to wait for a while before your muscles kind of relax and then they replenish their energies. And once their energy is replenished, then again you can start working. And if you continuously work for a long period of time, there will be fatigue. Then there is exhaustion. Then maybe you will be hospitalized. Right? Extreme fatigue and extreme exhaustion. Similarly, willpower. We cannot continuously keep using it for a prolonged period of time. They get exhausted, just like the muscles in our body. And we kind of stretch ourselves too much, then there won't be any willpower left even for basic functioning, for doing basic functions. And we'll get angry and frustrated and we'll feel tired, mentally exhausted. So willpower, they have to be used, just like we use the muscles in our body. And just like the muscles in our body, if we exercise regularly, the power in the muscles increases organically. So similarly, if we utilize our willpower properly in a regulated way, slowly but surely our willpower can increase. Like that. Now, I given this comparison that the willpower works exactly like muscle power, right? Now, muscle power, you can increase it to a certain extent through exercises, but you can't increase it unlimitedly. Can we? No. You know, many times when I am traveling by train, everybody is on their mobile phones nowadays in trains. So train mein bahut shanti hai aajkal. So I kind of peep, seeing what they're seeing. Let me see. Sometimes I do that. And many times they are watching WWE. World Wrestling. What is that? Entertainment. World Wrestling Entertainment they are watching. So train mein shanti hai. पर मन की अशांति वो देख के वो शांत कर रहे हैं, तो कुछ तो एक्शन चाहिए. ट्रेन में फाइट नहीं चल रहा है तो वो स्क्रीन के अंदर का फाइट देख रहे. सी इवन अ WWE फाइटर, एवरीबडी इज वेरी इंस्पायर्ड, एवरी वन ऑफ देम इज वेरी मोटिवेटेड, इजंट इट? विदाउट बीइंग रियली इंस्पायर्ड, रियली मोटिवेटेड, यू कांट बिकम ए WWE रेसलर इन द फर्स्ट प्लेस. हम जैसे लोग तो जाएंगे नहीं वहां पे. चांस ही नहीं. सो दे आर वेरी इंस्पायर्ड, दे आर वेरी मोटिवेटेड एंड दे डोंट गिव अप, दे डोंट फील लाइक गिविंग अप, राइट? दे कीप फाइटिंग, कीप फाइटिंग, कीप फाइटिंग. बट आफ्टर ऑल देयर मसल पावर इज लिमिटेड. अल्टीमेटली दे हैव टू गिव अप, राइट? अल्टीमेटली दे हैव टू गिव अप. इवन दो दे मैट think that, you know, I will never give up, still they end up giving up. Why? Because muscle power is limited. And we discussed how willpower is similar to muscle power. So no matter how strong willpower we have, it has to get exhausted in due course of time. So many times in inspirational and motivational talk they say, never give up, kabhi haar mat mano. Not possible. Because willpower is a limited resource. Khatam ho hi jayega. Even though you try your best, willpower has to get exhausted. You can never, never give up. You have to give up at some point of time. So from a material perspective, never give up is an impossibility. So many times inspirational and motivational speakers, they might say, never give up, kabhi haar mat mano. But then it's an impossibility because willpower is limited. It will get exhausted in due course of time. But on the spiritual platform, never give up is possible. From the scriptures, we find the story of Arjuna, for example, right? Kaurava Sainya Sagaram, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the whole army of the Kauravas was an unlimited sea. So the odds were against Arjuna, but still he actually never gave up and he ended up winning the battle of Kurukshetra. And more recently, we have the example of Srila Prabhupada. The odds were against him. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness. He wanted to spread the message of the Bhagavad Gita all over the world. And his guru had given him the order when he was 26 years old. And he kept trying, kept trying, kept trying. And especially in those days, in the 1950s and 60s, people, India was a newly independent nation. And people felt that It is the spirituality that has kept India backwards. So it was all the more harder for Srila Prabhupada to speak about spirituality at that time, to spread the message of the Bhagavad Gita at that particular point of time. But still, all through the 1950s and through the 1960s, he kept trying in India. And the kind of reverses that he met, it's unimaginable. He never met with any success. For decades and decades and decades. An impossible mission and with practically no success. But still he kept trying and trying and trying and trying, and he never gave up. He went on for almost 3 or 4 decades, and because he never gave up, ultimately in 1966, he started getting success in New York City. And slowly but surely, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness became established all over the world. Prabhupada is a glorious example of never give up. How inspired was Srila Prabhupada? How motivated was Srila Prabhupada? And how inspired was Arjuna? How motivated was Arjuna? Their inspiration, their motivation was real. It was sustainable. The modern inspiration, the modern motivation that we hear, it's unsustainable. Why we discussed? Because willpower is a limited resource. Now, how does spiritual motivation, how does spiritual inspiration work, which makes it sustainable? Now, spiritual motivation, spiritual inspiration, it acts in a counterintuitive way. How does it work? As we discussed, material motivation, material inspiration means what? We are thinking, I can't do it. And then we hear, you can do it. Come on, get up, you can do it. And then we feel inspired. How does spiritual inspiration work? You say, I can't do it. And the Bhagavad Gita says, you can never do it. The Bhagavad Gita doesn't say, you can do it. The Bhagavad Gita says, you can never do it. On your own, you can never do it. Only when Krishna desires, and when Krishna wants it to be done, it will be done. You can never do it. So when we see a spiritual practitioner going on and on and on and on, as if he has got unlimited willpower, the actual secret is his willpower is not unlimited. He is not exercising his willpower at all. Because only when you use your willpower thinking that I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, does it get exhausted. So spiritual practitioner doesn't use his willpower at all. What he is doing? He is simply trying to serve Krishna. He is simply trying to please Krishna in the best possible way. And because he is trying to please Krishna, serve Krishna in the best possible way, he is feeling rejuvenated and inspired in a spiritual way. And because he is never utilizing his limited willpower, where is the question of willpower getting exhausted? So a spiritual practitioner can go on and on and on and on. Like Srila Prabhupada, his consciousness was always very clear. Prabhupada never felt that I will go and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. I will do it. I can do it. No. If you read his prayers in the Jaladutta, his prayer was, Krishna, I can never do it. But if you desire, anything can happen. All I have to do is keep trying to please you. Because if I keep trying to do the right thing, I know you will be pleased. And when you want things to happen, things are going to manifest automatically. So that is why a spiritual practitioner has the unlimited capability to never give up. Because he is not banking on his own limited willpower. He is banking on Krishna's will that is unlimited. And because he is banking on Krishna's will that is unlimited, he never gets tired. He never gets demotivated. He never feels uninspired. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 5th chapter, the symptoms of a person who is on a very advanced spiritual platform is described. In chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So the Bhagavad Gita says, Naiva kinchit karo meti yukto manyeta tattvavit Pashyan shranvan sprashan jigran ashnan gachan supan shvasan pralapan visrajan grannan unmishan nimishan napi indriyan indriyartheshu vartanta iti dharayan. A person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. So a person on the elevated platform of Nishkama Karma Yoga at every instant is very conscious that it is not actually I am who is the doer. Things are being carried out by material nature under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So actually I am not the doer. In fact, the Bhagavad Gita says that Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartam Iti Manyate. The Vimudha, only a fool thinks that I am the doer. Actually, you are never the doer. And the Nishkama Karma Yogi, a person whose consciousness is highly developed, is conscious of it at every moment, that I am not the doer. I can never do anything. What to speak of big things? I cannot do anything. Everything is done by Krishna only. My only responsibility is to try to please Krishna, to try to serve Krishna. But a person who is on a lower platform, maybe on the platform of Sakama Karma Yoga, is not fully aware of this at every moment. Such a person is still under the misconception that I am the doer. And because such a person is under the misconception that I am the doer, when he meets with reversals, when he meets with failures, such a person becomes demotivated, feels uninspired. There is a nice episode that comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, where a Sakama Karma Yogi is fighting against a Nishkama Karma Yogi. This comes in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A Sakama Karma Yogi versus Nishkama Karma Yogi. A Sakama Karma Yogi who feels that I am the doer. And a Nishkama Karma Yogi who feels, I am not the doer. An interesting match between a Sakama Karma Yogi and a Nishkama Karma Yogi. A Sakama Karma Yogi is somebody who wants material, motivational and inspirational talk. Because he feels that I am the doer. So when he feels demotivated, he wants inspirational, motivational talk. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But a Nishkama Karma Yogi, he always knows that I am not the doer. So he is self-motivated, self-inspired. So this is a war between Indra, who is a Sakama Karma Yogi, and Vritrasura, who is a Nishkama Karma Yogi. Now Vritrasura, for those of whom don't know this, Vritrasura, even though he was in the body of a demon, still, he was a very highly exalted devotee of the Lord. He was on a highly elevated platform of Nishkama Karma Yoga and beyond. He was Maharaj Chitraketu in his previous lifetime, and in this lifetime, he was Vritrasura. And when he was Maharaj Chitraketu itself, he was a very exalted devotee, and because of a curse, He had to take the body of a demon. While on the other hand, Indra, like a typical devata, he is a sakama karma yogi. So there is a fight between a sakama karma yogi and a nishkama karma yogi on the bank of the river Narmada. Now this Narmada river is not the Narmada in India, but the Narmada river in the heavenly planets, Srila Prabhupada says. So what happens? Now the fight begins. And the first thing that the Indra does is he takes his mace, Gada, and throws it at Vritrasur. So Vritrasur, with the left hand, he grabs that Gada and he hits Airavat, Indra's elephant, a Chakkamara. And, you know, Airavat falls beyond the 15-yard circle. He falls 15 yards away. And Airavat starts bleeding in the mouth. And Indra is thrown off the back of the elephant. And Indra, and seeing that when Indra faces reverses, when he fell down from the back of Airavat, immediately he becomes morose. Because he loses confidence. He felt, I can't do it now. How can I fight with such a powerful person as Vritrasura? The very first blow, Airavat has fallen and I have fallen off Airavat's back. Now Vritrasura, as a rightful fighter, what he does, he sees that Airavat is wounded and Indra is in a precarious situation. He is feeling morose and demotivated. So let me give some time for him to rejuvenate. So Indra, with his nectar producing hands, he touches the mouth of Airavat. And immediately, Airavat is healed. But still, because Indra, a sakama karma yogi, he is under the misconception that I am the doer, he is feeling demotivated. He is lacking the inspiration to start fighting again. So Vritrasur now has to give him pep talk. Come on, nothing has happened. Why are you giving up so early? But still, Indra, he has lost confidence. So Vritrasura, he feels that this guy, very difficult to motivate him. So he took his trident and hurled it at Indra. Abhi ball fake diya to bat uthana padega na abhi. So immediately, Indra takes his thunderbolt and he kind of cuts the Trishul, the trident, to pieces and also cuts off one of the hands of Vritrasura. So Vritrasura has lost his trident and one of his hands is cut off. Has he lost his motivation? Has he lost his inspiration? No. What he does? He takes his mace in his left hand and again strikes at Indra. He strikes Indra on his jaws, and Indra drops his thunderbolt. The blow was so strong that Indra dropped his thunderbolt. And when the thunderbolt dropped from Indra's hand, again Indra felt demotivated. Again he lost his inspiration. Now again Vritrasura has to give another pep talk. Come on Indra, pick up that thunderbolt now. Pick it up. Nothing has happened. Still things are going very good. And then Vritrasura speaks a beautiful verse. He says that, Yutsatam kutra chidata tainam jayai sadai katra navai paratmanam vinai kamutpatim layastitishwaram sarvagyam adyam purusham sanatanam. He tells Indra that Yutsatam kutra chidata tainam jayai sadai katra navai paratmanam. In this world, victory is not assured to anyone in all circumstances. You won't find any person who is victorious under all circumstances in this world. People in this world, sometimes they will be victorious, sometimes they will fail. వినైకం ఉత్పత్తిం లయస్థితీశ్వరం సర్వజ్ఞం ఆద్యం పురుషం సనాతనం. బట్ ఓన్లీ వన్ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ విక్టోరియస్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్. హూ ఇస్ దాట్? ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. అండర్ ఆల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఈజ్ విక్టోరియస్. బట్ అదర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ సమ్టైమ్స్ ఆర్ విక్టోరియస్, సమ్టైమ్స్ దే ఆర్ నాట్, బికాస్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ ద డూయర్స్. ఓన్లీ వెన్ కృష్ణ డిజైర్స్ దే ఆర్ విక్టోరియస్, అండ్ వెన్ కృష్ణ డజంట్ డిజైర్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ విక్టోరియస్. అండ్ బికాస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద డూయర్, హీ ఈస్ విక్టోరియస్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్. అండ్ వృత్రాసుర్ యాజ్ హీ స్పీక్స్ ఫర్దర్ హీ మేక్స్ దిస్ పాయింట్ మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ క్లియర్ టు ఇంద్ర. He says, our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality and mortality are all subjected to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it, all of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. So Vritrasur is trying to impress upon Indra that you don't have to be morose when you go through reversals in life. You become morose when you go through reversals in life only when you think that you are the doer and success depends upon you alone. But when you become aware that ultimately success comes when it is sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the only thing that is within our hands is to simply keep trying, when we have that consciousness, then we'll never feel demotivated and uninspired. And in this connection, Prabhupada gives some very nice lines in his Bhaktivedanta purport. He says, this verse is very instructive for sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should not be concerned with victory and defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna. So when Vritrasura tries to impress upon Indra that just continue trying, just like I am trying. Actually Vritrasura gives his own example to Indra. And he tells Indra that I am almost defeated now. I've lost my trident and one of my arms is also cut off. But still, just look at me. I'm continuing to try. Whereas you've got an upper hand right now. And you're just met with a minor reversal, still you're trying to give up. So you should take inspiration from me and continue fighting. So Vritrasura, when Indra hears these words of Vritrasura, he can appreciate that this person is not an ordinary demon. Because an ordinary demon, an ordinary asura, cannot have such exalted state of consciousness. A perfect understanding that Krishna is the one who is the doer and it is not we who are the doers. And so, Indra actually appreciates Vritrasura's exalted position. And he says, Yasya Bhaktir Bhagavati హరౌ నిశ్రేయశేశ్వరే విక్రీడతో అమృతాంబోధౌ కిం క్షుద్రై కాటకోదకై. A person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? So basically Indra tells Vritrasura that being in material consciousness, I am like a person trying to swim in small ditches of water. But you, whose consciousness is purely spiritual, are swimming in an ocean of nectar. A nectar of bliss. So somehow, Indra inspired by Vritrasur, he picks up his thunderbolt Vajra and attacks Vritrasur and cuts off another arm of Vritrasur. Still, Vritrasur doesn't give up. He doesn't feel demotivated. He doesn't lose his inspiration. What he does, he feels that maybe I lost my hands, but still I got my mouth. So he puts his jaws on the ground and swallows Indra. And after swallowing Indra, he goes into a state of samadhi. And he leaves his body to go back to the spiritual world. I have tried enough, now it's time to go back to the spiritual world. Indra, meanwhile, he kind of drills through the stomach of Vritrasur, comes out, and he cuts the head of Vritrasur. And the head of Vritrasur was so thick, and it was so stiff because he was in samadhi. It took one full year for the head of Vritrasur to fall to the ground. And Indra felt that he had killed Vritrasur. He had only cut the head of the corpse of Vritrasur. Because Vritrasur had already departed to the spiritual world even before Indra could do anything. So this is the difference between a person with low spiritual consciousness and a person with high spiritual consciousness. A person with high spiritual consciousness, a person on the platform of Nishkama Karma Yoga, who is always conscious that I am never the doer. It is Krishna who is the doer, never loses motivation, never loses inspiration. Such a person always knows that I only have to keep trying. Just keep trying. When Krishna desires, things will happen. And he has full faith in Krishna. Krishna's power and Krishna's affection. So right now Krishna is not giving me success because he feels that if success comes now, it won't be very good for me. So I just have to keep trying. When he desires, success will come. So this is a very important point to understand, even in practicing Krishna consciousness. Because when we initially come to the path of Krishna consciousness, when we initially come, when we initially start practicing Bhagavad Gita in our life, we feel that we can do it. Right? We feel that we can overcome the anarthas. We feel that I am already there and it's only a matter of time before I can become a pure devotee. That kind of a feeling you get. I can do it on my own. And a new beginner on the path of Krishna consciousness is very motivated, very inspired. You see, they're very enthusiastic. They jump very high in the kirtan. And they're sitting in the class all through. Even till prasadam prayer is over, they'll be sitting. But slowly, slowly, they don't stop jumping too much. And khade khade aise aise karne lag jata ho kirtan mein. And even when the class is going on, sometimes they go for prasads. They start going for prasad. Why? Because what happens? What is happening? Because initially, they feel that I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. I can become a pure devotee very soon. If only I practice the principles of Krishna consciousness properly. I'll go on chanting Hare Krishna very nicely. I'll dance in kirtan. I'll sit to the classes. And I'll become pure devotee very soon, they feel. But this, in due course of time, what happens? Nothing is happening, seems to be happening. And then there is a loss of motivation. There's a loss of inspiration. And then subconsciously, you start feeling, no, I can't do it. And once you feel that I can't do it, there's a loss of motivation and inspiration, loss of enthusiasm. But the point is, as we progress in Krishna consciousness, if we go by the right method, what happens is, we slowly but surely understand that actually, based upon my own sadhana, my own practices, I can never overcome the anarthas. I can never become a pure devotee. When Krishna desires, things are going to happen. So my only job is to keep trying. And keep trying enthusiastically so that I am able to please Krishna, satisfy Krishna. So as a devotee becomes a regular practitioner, the dependence upon Krishna should go on increasing. And as the dependence upon Krishna goes on increasing, the devotee starts understanding that my trying won't remove the anarthas. Because I can't do it on my own. But my trying will please Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, and when he desires, the anarthas will go away and I will progress on the path of bhakti. With this understanding, a devotee can go on practicing sadhana bhakti for years and years and years and years without losing motivation, without losing inspiration. But if our practice of sadhana bhakti is with understanding that through my sadhana, I will be able to overcome the anarthas. Through my sadhana, I will become a pure devotee. You are bound to lose inspiration. You are bound to lose your motivation because you are on a mission impossible. You might be able to win in WWE wrestling match, but you won't be able to win in the wrestling match against Maya. Not possible. So, a sincere devotee's understanding is, I am practicing sadhana, I am only trying. My trying is to please Krishna. I can't do anything. On my own I am helpless. But when I try sincerely, through the method which Prabhupada has given, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, eating prasad, you know, and then chanting Hare Krishna, dancing in the kirtan, through this simple process, I will be able to please Krishna. And if Krishna desires, in no time, all the anarthas will go away and I will become a pure devotee. So let me just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, depending upon Krishna. So as we progress on the path of bhakti, one very important thing that should increase is our dependence upon Krishna. If our dependence upon Krishna is not increasing, we'll lose inspiration, we'll lose motivation, and we'll need inspirational and motivational talk to boost us. But if our dependence upon Krishna is there, then we'll be self-inspired, self-motivated to just keep trying, 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 unlimited. Our stamina increases unlimitedly. And people watching us will think, oh, what super willpower this fellow has. He's never giving up. But actually, you've already given up long ago, thinking that I can never do it. You're depending upon Krishna's will, not your own will, Krishna's will. And that is the substance of the inspiration and motivation which is given by the scriptures, which is sustainable and real. It's not false, temporary and unsustainable. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to Gopinath Chand Prabhu for a wonderful talk. Just how, depending on Krishna, we can have unlimited motivation, unlimited inspiration. Very wonderful lesson, very wonderful realization shared by His Grace Gopinath Chand Prabhu. So let us thank Him by loudly chanting 3 times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So first of all, we would like to welcome all the devotees and the guests who have come here for the very first time. तो सबसे पहले हम सब उन्हीं अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो कि आज के संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम में पहली बार आए हैं. आवर गेस्ट रिसेप्शन इंचार्ज विल बी स्टैंडिंग नियर हनुमान जी विग्रह विल वेलकम यू टू दिस टेम्पल एंड विल गिव यू द महाप्रसाद एंड ऑल्सो इफ यू हैव क्वेश्चन ही विल हैप्पीली आंसर यू. तो हमारे रिसेप्शन इंचार्ज जो कि हनुमान जी के विग्रह के पास खड़े रहेंगे वो आपका स्वागत तो करेंगे ही, साथ में महाप्रसाद भी मिलेगा और